The other important thing about not having to have a point-by-point comparison in fantasy was that it enabled fantasy to evolve in different ways than it would have when it's restricted by that point-for-point comparison. And you start to see some of that in another great Victorian book of children's fantasy, Peter Pan. Peter Pan, the stage instructions for the play by Barry, suggest that the same actor who plays Captain Hook has to play the father, because there's a psychological subtext going on in Peter Pan that suggests that Captain Hook, who wants to kill Peter Pan and destroy everything, is the father who's kicking Wendy out of the nursery and so forth. But as good as Peter Pan is, and if you go read Peter Pan, I think you'll be really surprised at how beautifully written that book is. Children's book or not, it is a stunningly beautifully written book. But as good as it is, it's weakened by that very strong kind of family romance psychology aspect of it that doesn't allow it to be as fantastic as you would like it to be, and also then starts to turn some of it into cliche. Now, it's not Barry's fault that Peter Pan's become cliche with the pirates and the crocodile and the Indians and so forth, any more than it's Shakespeare's fault that all the lines in Hamlet are a cliche. I mean, he wrote them first. But nevertheless, that connection of fantasy to the family romance, to the, and when I mean family romance, I mean that in Freudian terms, the struggles between mother and father and children for power and independence and so forth that Freud sexualized, the Victorians, sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't. That's a hindrance, again, to the development of a free-ranging fantasy that can get out of the nursery and can include adults and can go all over the world. So Alice in Wonderland, Peter Pan, they start to open the doors, but they're still tied to the nursery in some way. As is George MacDonald's The Princess and the Goblin, a book that's important not only because it was so influential on Tolkien, who then goes on to develop modern fantasy, but also because it's a really terrific book in and of itself. The Princess and the Goblin is far less familiar to people than Alice in Wonderland or Peter Pan, possibly because there hasn't been a movie made of it. But the difference in Princess and the Goblin is there's actually quite a bit of very strong violence. I mean, they're killing goblins left and right, which you don't really see in, even in Peter Pan, when they're shooting cannons at the pirates. You never see, like, dead pirates lying around or anything else. There's a threat, but there's not actual violence. Now, you say, with your modern sensibility, maybe that's not such a good thing. But again, what it does is it opens the door, and it also links up children's fantastic literature with other things that are going on in the Victorian period, adventure stories, and it also raises the stakes. When main characters might be killed,